It being the end of half term, there have been many of us who have been on journeys this week. One of the worst journeys that I have ever taken was to my brother-in-law's wedding. He decided to get married on the 23rd of December, which is a challenging day for me personally to go anywhere. And he got married in Bath, where he and his future wife were living. James, my husband, was being best man, so he'd gone ahead to Bath the night before. And the plan was that I would get up early on the morning of the wedding and drive to Bath with Elliot, who at that stage was just 9 months old. This scenario in itself was not too bad, but two factors made it an incredibly stressful journey. Firstly, this was in the days before I had a sat-nav in the car, and I'd only been to my brother-in-law's house once before. Now, anyone who has ever driven with me will know that I have the most appalling sense of direction. And so going anywhere in the pre-sat-nav days meant me printing off an AA auto route, plus having a big roadmap on the passenger seat, and hoping and praying that there were no diversions. So begin with the scenario of me driving somewhere I didn't know, with no sat-nav, no sense of direction, and a nine-month-old in the car. Then add into that scenario the thickest fog I have ever experienced. I literally couldn't see ahead of me at all, and I was driving around the country roads on the hills above Bath. The sense of relief when I finally arrived at my brother-in-law's was unlike any other sensation I've ever had at the end of a journey. I couldn't believe I'd found it, that I hadn't driven off the hillside, and that we were actually in time for the wedding, which, by the way, I didn't actually see because Elliot decided to cry throughout the whole thing. I've been thinking this week about the sensation of coming home. Whether that literally means coming back to the place where we live, or in the more looser sense of the word, when we talk about somewhere feeling like home. Coming home can be arriving somewhere familiar. For example, whenever I go to Southwold in Suffolk, it feels like coming home because my family has had such long associations with that particular town. Or it can be arriving somewhere new, but it feeling like you're in the right place. I've always described being ordained as a coming home experience, as I knew deep down that I was finally in the right place and doing the right thing. Arriving in Bath on that foggy December day was like coming home, because although the place was a bit unfamiliar, the people who greeted me took Elliot out of the car for me, calmed my nerves, were the people who created that safe sense of home for me. Wherever I go off on a Sunday morning to take a service in another church and make it back here for coffee, it always feels like coming home. The reason I've been pondering this idea of coming home this week is because of the first two readings we had this morning, and because of the time of year that we are in with regard to the church's calendar. On Thursday this week, this past week, the 1st of November, the church marked All Saints' Day, which we're marking today as All Saints' Sunday. This is a day when we traditionally remember all those who have been an example of Christian living, both those who have been given that official saint title, but also those who have been saints for us, those who've shown us God through their lives and witness. Then on Friday, the 2nd of November, we marked All Souls' Day, We remember all those who have died. And this traditionally is a day where churches hold memorial services or in loving memory services. And in fact, from next year, our memorial service, which we've always held in the summer, is going to be moved and will be on the Sunday nearest to All Souls Day. And then, of course, next week, we'll be marking Remembrance Sunday, with this year being particularly poignant, with it also marking the 100th anniversary at the end of the First World War. These first few weeks in November are seen as a season of remembrance in the church's life. And therefore, the readings are set to speak of life beyond this one. They speak of eternal life, of salvation. They speak of heaven. I'm quite often asked what I think heaven will be like. And I've given various answers over the years as my thoughts and my faith has developed. And we're given just a few hints or glimpses in the Bible. Jesus described heaven as God's house, where there are many places or rooms, and where a place is prepared for each of us. In the famous passage we heard from Revelation today, heaven is somewhere where God will dwell, will live with us, where there will be no more pain, no more sadness, no more crying, where every tear will be wiped away, where heaven is described as a place of healing. This imagery reflects the imagery written many years before by the prophet Isaiah. However, apart from these small glimpses of heaven, we are left very much to wonder and to grapple with what heaven will really be like. And it's in this wondering and grappling that I've come to a place in my own thinking that I would describe heaven as like coming home. Not a physical place that I've known before, but to a place, a sensation, if you like, of being at home. And when I think of what it's like to come home, I can begin to describe heaven as a place of safety, a place of peace, a place of love, a place of rightness, a place of righteousness. Hymn writers often use this imagery of coming home to describe heaven. In the hymn, O Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder, which is also known as How Great Thou Art, the last verse reads, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. In the hymn Amazing Grace, John Newton wrote, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Even modern hymn writers use the same imagery, with Stuart Townend writing in his hymn, the one we know quite well here, In Christ Alone. He wrote, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. It takes a step, even a leap, you might say, of faith to believe in something that we cannot see and in something that nobody has returned from. But that's precisely what we're asked to do. Jesus made us a promise that there is a home, a house for each of us beyond this life, And one day, he will call each of us home. In this remembrance season, we give thanks for all whom God has called home. But I also encourage you in this remembrance season to take some time to ponder what heaven means for you, to reread the passages we've heard today, to read John chapter 14, verse 1 to 6, where Jesus talks about heaven, to borrow a hymn book and let the hymn writer's words inspire you, to reflect on the idea and the feeling of coming home. There are so many uncertainties in life. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. People will say that the only certainty in life is death. The Christian faith speaks of death as something not to be afraid of, but something to look forward to. As with death brings new life, as with death comes healing, as with death we are called home to a place we've never been before, but will be like coming home. Some final words from one of our greatest hymn writers, Charles Wesley. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Let us live life to the full in this life, knowing that one day we will be called home to be lost in God's wonder, love, and praise. Amen.